What is God looking for in a man? Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Two things that the psalmist was talking to the Lord about here. One is that they be godly, and the other that they be faithful. And his prayer as it burst out before the Lord was, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Job 17:9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. You might say, he that hath dirty hands shall be weaker and weaker. Isaiah 52:11. Isaiah 52:11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. In E.M. Bounds, Power Through Prayer, the first chapter, here's the paragraph. The preacher's sharpest and strongest preaching should be to himself. His most difficult, delicate, laborious, and thorough work must be with himself. Preachers are not sermon makers, but men makers and saint makers. And he only is well trained for this business who has made himself a man and a saint. It is not great talents or great learning or great preachers that God needs, but men great in holiness, great in faith, great in love, great in fidelity, great for God, men always preaching by holy sermons in the pulpit, by holy lives out of it. These can mold a generation for God. There's another quote in here, Robert Murray McChain. Study universal holiness of life. Your whole usefulness depends on this, for your sermons last but an hour or two, your life preaches all the week. If Satan can only make a covetous minister, a lover of praise, pleasure, of good eating, he has ruined your ministry. Holiness. There's another quote in here from John Wesley. I don't find it at the, forget where it is at the moment. Having to do with the holiness of life. As I think of Billy Graham, I wonder why God has given him the tremendous opportunities. Before princes and before rulers, I found the answer, at least one answer, and it's Proverbs 22:11. Let me read it to you. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be his friend. Who? He that loveth pureness of heart. He that loveth pureness of heart. Help, Lord, for the godly man seeketh. Godly. Holy. That's what God's looking for. God the Father is holy. whose name is holy is mentioned 18 times, that very phrase. A holy one mentioned 16 times. The Holy One of Israel 29 times. The Lord Jesus addressed him in John 17 as Holy Father. God the Son is spoken of as holy in Psalm 16:10 and Acts 4. God the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures are called the Holy Scriptures. The prophets that God used to write them were called holy men of God. The Christian calling to which you and I are called is referred to as a holy calling in 2 Timothy 1:9. The temple of God, which temple ye are, is holy. God wants His people to be holy. Our manner of life should be holy. What does it mean to be holy? Well, it means to be clean and undefiled. Take a couple of scripture references on this. One is Leviticus 11. There are quite a number in Leviticus, but I'll just read a couple of them for now. 11:43, 44, and 45. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth. Neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I, the Lord your God, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And Peter repeats that, you know, in the first chapter of his epistle. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Or 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. To be holy is to be cleansed, or to be clean and undefiled. Now, I'm not talking about in the sense of set apart. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, we have another injunction that's given to us as Christians. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, or personal purity. It's as though we have a beautiful, lovely red apple. And we're just as hungry as can be, and that just the thing is perfect. And then somehow or other we drop it, and it rolls along in mud, dirt, filth. It's become unclean. It's defiled. We're not interested in it till it's been cleaned, till it's been washed. God wants us to be clean and undefiled. All we have been washed, as the Lord Jesus told Peter there in John 13, but coming back from the public bath, which is the illustration there, our feet get defiled, get dirty. And there needs to be cleansing in our daily walk. God is looking for holy lives. That's what He wants. That's His command. That's His injunction. That's what He wants us to be. Well, how do I become holy? How do I become holy in my life? Well, first of all, by separating myself from all that is unclean and defiling. By separating myself from all that is unclean and defiling. For instance, over here in Isaiah, that first reference that I gave you, 52:11. Do you notice what it said there? Depart ye, go out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Don't play around with sin in any form. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Don't even look to see what they're doing. in Proverbs 4. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out from the midst of her. Here in Isaiah 52. What did Paul write to Timothy? Flee also youthful lusts. Some sins are overcome by fight, and others are overcome by flight. 2 Corinthians 6. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then right into 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, what are we to do? Cleanse ourselves. From what? From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, what are some of the things that would defile us? What are some of the things that would come along and make us unclean? Well, I'm going to use Phillips here for a bit tonight. One reason I like to read Phillips, that it gives you a new slant and some old truth strike you with new force. And one reason I want to use Phillips tonight, I trust that here, some old thoughts, perhaps, will strike us with new force. Romans 12, 1 and 2 from Phillips. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. But let God remold your mind from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. That's the first thought, the world. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Now, I think there's a good deal of confusion among Christians today on this matter of our contact with the world. There are those who are so separated that the word isn't actually separated, it's isolated. And God never intended that we are to be isolated from them. The Lord Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. And the isolationists around him criticized him for eating with them. We are to have friends with them. We are to make friends with sinners in order to reach them for Christ. There are those who mistake, not only do they mistake separation and isolation, but they feel that courtesy is compromised, and it isn't at all. We have been sent into the world to reach them. And all their ways of thinking, which are foreign to the ways of God, but we have sent out to be with them. And as you know, the only way we catch fish is to go where the fish are. And we have the example of the Lord Jesus to follow. We are to be in the world, but we are not to be of it. Like the old illustration of the boat. All is well as long as the boat is in the water. But when the water gets in the boat, then things are not so well. But you know, the world's ways, the world's thoughts, there is something about them that must be dangerous. Because all the way through the New Testament, you don't have to read very far to see that there are warnings being given consistently about the world system, its way of doing things, its way of thinking. And here, as Phillips puts it, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. When Paul is recounting his conversion and telling about his call, he tells how God spoke to him and said this, For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He said, I am promising to deliver you from the very people to whom I'm sending you. And I think there is a sense in which we need to be delivered, not a sense, a reality, in which we need to be delivered from the very world to which we're sent, lest it squeeze us into its own mold. Or if I can read again from Phillips, over here in 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Never give your hearts to this world or to any of the things in it. A man cannot love the Father and love the world at the same time. For the whole world system, based as it is on men's primitive desires, their greedy ambitions, and the glamour of all that they think splendid, is not derived from the Father at all, but from the world itself. The world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear. But the man who is following God's will is part of the permanent and cannot die. James puts it even stronger. He says that friendship with the world is enmity to God in James 4:4. Paul wrote about one of his co-laborers. And he said of him, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4:10. And a worldly Christian is a useless Christian.